Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Tina S. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, July the 30th, 2026, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 55 in the chapter We Agnostics and reading the first paragraph, starting with, yet we have been seeing another kind of flight through one paragraph, ending with, but like to tell ourselves it wasn't true. Today, the readers are for the 12 steps, Ilana P., the 12 traditions, Adrian N., our newcomer greeter, Devorah S., and our second hour host, Matt J.F., readers of the text, Penny C., page 164, Judith S.P., and our backup is Zoe N. The reference number for yesterday, Wednesday, July the 29th, 2026, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,676. That's 23676. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,677. That's 23677. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Ilana P. to read the 12 steps. Please read, Ilana.
Good morning. It's Ilana P. from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, recovered for today. 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and peerless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service.
Thanks so much, Ilana P. And next, ask Adrian N. to read the 12 traditions, please. Please read, Adrian.
The 12 traditions, Adrian N. from Florida. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group's conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Thanks so much, Adrienne Ann, and wanted to thank everyone, Team Thursday, and everyone who did service in the month of July. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Okay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 55, the first paragraph, and I will now ask Penny C. to start reading. Please read, Penny.
Good morning, everybody. This is Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Boston area. Yet we had been seeing another kind of flight, a spiritual liberation from this world, people who rose above their problems. They said God made these things possible, and we only smiled. We had seen spiritual release, but like to tell ourselves it wasn't true. I have to admit that I wasn't really completely clear on the term spiritual liberation. I would have thought I would be, but in researching, what I came up with was, in the context of the AA Big Book, spiritual liberation refers to breaking free from the paralyzing mental obsession of addiction, ego, and the bondage experienced as we experienced a profound shift in thinking and connecting with the higher power. And so I had a profound shift once I came and started working the steps, going through the steps and working them. And I also found the 12 steps provide a practical path to clear away the spiritual malady of fear, self-seeking, and self-pity. And having researched this, I better understand where I was. Even though I bragged, I boasted of a extensive religious education, I had no idea what spirituality was before I came to the 12 steps. Absolutely none. For instance, I never even thought of asking God to help me with my compulsive overeating or with my other problems for that matter. I just had this fear of God, and I thought I just needed to keep doing what was right so I wouldn't get punished. But having a personal God is the best gift of this program for me. And even though this chapter I would never call this chapter my favorite, it's the most powerful chapter in the book for me. It really did help me clear away the bondage of all of my problems that got in the way of my relationship with God. The 12 steps had me look at all my my character defects, and be willing and able to give them to God, to ask for God's protection. And today, I ask God, I pray for whatever it is, you know. I pray for the rain that we have. It's wonderful. It's a gift from God. We needed the rain. And all kinds of things that would be small, considered small problems. Because I do believe that God is in charge. And I have to tell you, I did not even consider that before I came to 12-step programs. So with that, I'm going to pass. And thank you, Tina.
Thanks so much, Penny C. Okay. I'm going to take a list of names, but although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience. So if you share it on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back. And if you give me your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from, who would like to share on this paragraph?
Lisa Jo B. in Denver.
Harlan G. Harlan.
I got Lisa Jo B. and Harlan G. Anybody else? Great paragraph.
Shelly B.
Shelly B.
Rob H.
Is that Rob H?
Yep.
Thank you.
Marie M.
Marie or Mary?
Marie. Marie M.
Marie M.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa Jo B, Harlan G, Shelley B, Rob H, and Marie M. Who else? We could take a couple more. Okay, well, let's go with that. We have Lisa Jo B, Harlan G, Shelley B, Rob H, and Marie M. And then when you share, please give me, please let me know where you're calling from. So let's start with Lisa Jo B. Please start us off, Lisa.
Thank you. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, great. This is Lisa Jo B from Colorado. I love this paragraph so much. There are so many problems in this world in my head. In what I see around me, that I forget to rely on my faith. And this paragraph gives me a lot of hope because people rose above their problems only by the grace of God, that God makes all these things possible. He makes our recovery possible. He makes reconnecting with ourselves, with Him, with others possible. He makes us joyous. He makes joy and freedom possible. And it is a spiritual release. It's something that we can smile about. It's something that that we were in disbelief of. Most of our life and in the disease, we didn't see that there was an answer to our problem. And the problem is the pit of hell. I had a situation yesterday where the disease brought me to my knees. I am desperate for help. Spoiler alert, the food is as miserable as it ever was. And God granted me the gift of desperation, and I have to keep in mind, I have not arrived. I have not arrived. I am to my knees. People give me hope that there is joy and freedom. And this fellowship means the world to me because whenever I hear someone say that they're recovered, it gives me hope. I haven't thought that about myself. I've fallen and picked myself up, but it's picked myself. It's not myself. it's through God's grace that I arose from my feet from the pits of hell to work this program, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I am desperate. And with that, I pass. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks so much, Lisa Joe B. from Colorado. Next, we have Harlan G., followed by Shelley B. Please share, Harlan.
Thanks, Tina. And please don't make your reminder gentle. There's trucks and traffic out here, and it's loud. I'm Harlan G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. I have had 27 years of blissful abstinence from compulsive overeating. Not only have I released over 500 pounds since the very beginning of my trek, but I have not wanted to overeat. I am in a normal size body, wearing normal size clothes. My bills are paid. I'm on time for things. My life works to some extent. Does that mean that I have a life that is free of any challenge? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I wake up every day and I wake up and I say, thank you, God. But I still have a 72-year-old body with aches and pains and challenges in my life. I have a daughter that hasn't spoken to me in 15 years. I don't think she knows why. I certainly don't. I have people in my life that I love very much that I prayed to God wouldn't die, and they're gone. I have challenges in my life like any human being. Clancy Imeslin teaches us that no matter how evolved our recovery gets, we will never rise above the level of a human being. But there is one thing that has not happened in 27 and a half years to make things worse. I have not put food in my mouth that does not belong there. That's all that was promised to me. It says on page 45 of the big book, the main object of this book is to help you find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem, singular. Do all other aspects of my life get better when I'm in recovery? Yes. Who makes that possible? Me? No. God. God makes it possible for us to be on this line this morning. God gives us a fellowship. He split the Red Sea. Actually, it was a sea of reeds, but okay. He split the Red Sea, the burning bush, minor league stuff. There are millions and millions of alcoholics, drug addicts, gamblers, and compulsive overeaters today living in recovery, blissfully, because of this program. That's the miracle. That's the miracle. That's the miracle. That other stuff, Cecil B. DeMille can do it. But only God can take one of us and catapult us into a fourth dimension of existence more wonderful than we could ever have imagined, provided we do the work. Thanks, Tina. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Harlan G. from Arizona. Next, we have Shelley B., followed by Rob H. Please share, Shelley.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Shelley B. in Iowa. I wasn't going to share this morning, but I was just so moved by that lead share. I really loved how she talked about the spiritual liberation. And yes, and all the shares that have happened since, it's been amazing. Like, I don't have to hurt myself with food anymore. And that's a grateful. But is my life perfect? Heck no. I think what happened is the food got removed, and now I feel everything better. Resentment, fear, anger, self-pity, all of those things. And it's only, like, I have to write down every day, turn to God for everything. I have to write that down every day. And it's a reminder, like, whenever I start to go that direction, you know, I just look at God and ask for help or thank him throughout the day constantly. And that's something that one of my sponsors in another program years ago taught me to do. I just kind of forgot about it when I got into the food. But that's it. Like when I'm just talking to God throughout the day, thanking him for the beautiful things. And when I thank him for the beautiful things, all of a sudden I start to see more beautiful things. And I'm so grateful for that, you know, and the recovery, like I want to take the credit for the recovery. And just every time, like I drop a size or I lose a few pounds, because I'm still in that process of getting to a normal size body, I want to take the credit. And thank God, like I've been in the program long enough that thought is, you know, that's always my first thought. But then the next thought, the God thought comes in and the credit all goes to God. Like I'd still be in the food if it were up to me. That's where my best thinking got me. And so I'm so grateful. This chapter has been amazing this time around. Like I am learning so much about how I still rely on myself and there's still more work to do. But also, I'm really grateful for the awareness that there's still more work to do. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Shelley B. from Iowa. Next, we have Rob H., followed by Marie M. Please share, Rob.
Thank you. What comes to me in this paragraph, of course, you see the word God in there. I was reading, you know, in a different book this morning about God and what God does to drunken people. And, you know, and this part that I was reading was saying that, you know, God brings, you know, an army to come up against, you know, the drunken people. It just made me think of problems. Not that God brings the problems, but, you know, he kind of lets them be. And, you know, for me, I would think about, you know, hoarding food or eating way too much as some type of security, I guess. Almost like building up my own, you know, like wall of fat around my body that would protect me from other people. Because you know, whether I was aware of it or not, I didn't know that there was God. Or you know, I'd been to church when I was younger, but I didn't believe that there was a God. I still get that way sometimes. And I know that besides that God is supposed to be loving, you know, it's also God I need to fear. You know, I need to fear God as well. And, you know, we say higher power in this program, and, you know, I need to have a healthy fear of the higher power, that, you know, that there are consequences to actions. And, you know, I guess I didn't believe before, and thanks to especially this book that we're reading on this line, you know, I'm coming to believe more and more. I'm scared, you know, today. I'm just going to the doctor, but I don't want to, you know, and there's going to be some tests, but, you know, I don't think anything necessarily bad is going to happen, but, you know, it's just this idea of going to the doctor and what are they going to tell me this time, you know, what am I going to have to do, you know, in my mind it's just have to do instead of get to do, you know, like maybe if I do these things that my doctor says, I will get to live longer as opposed to have to do these things in order to, you know, prolong life, you know. So for me, it takes prayer and it takes, you know, obviously reading this and being a part of,
and to reminder,
you know, this group. Thanks. And I'm glad that I showed up today. So I'll pass. Rob from New York.
Thanks so much, Rob H. from New York. Appreciate that. Okay, and before we hear from Marie, let me remind everybody where we're reading from if you've come on a little late. or if you just didn't hear, we're on page 55 in the chapter We Agnostics on the first paragraph. So, Marie M., please share with us.
Well, good morning. This is Marie M. from Texas. Let's see. They said God made these things possible, and we only smiled. That line just reminded me this morning of, you know, how far I've come. I was in program early in my 20s and 30s, and I left for quite a while. And about 9 years ago, I was struck with a lung disease that basically my body was rejecting my lungs. And so over time, your lungs turned to concrete. Not trying to give you guys a downer in the morning. I do have a positive note. I'll get there. But so eventually over time, I needed to get a lung transplant. But that was it was a very long time in coming. One of the things I needed to do was lose weight in order to qualify for a double lung transplant. And I went to a nutritionist and I got the calorie counting and all that, and it's like, that's not going to work. So I returned to OA, and I'm so glad I did, because not only was I able to release weight and eventually get my lungs transplanted in 2023, but the journey that I had during that time from 2017 even up until today, that would not have been possible without turning to God. And, you know, when people ask me about my journey and about my journey with my lungs even, and I talk about it, when I bring God up, I can still see some people, you know, kind of hesitate or look a little doubtful. But in those deepest, darkest times when it's just you, and I hope no one ever experiences this, but when you are concentrating on pulling oxygen into and pushing it out of your lungs manually, because you have very little breathing space, it's God who sat with me, you know, nights in hospital and everything. And I'm here today, yes, because I had the most talented surgeons in the world replace my lungs, but also mainly because, you know, God was with me. You know, when I seek God, I always seem to have a problem. Like I've had a relapse lately, and I've been seeking God, and I was having an issue, and someone said to me, "Why don't you let God in?" And it was just that little twist, and just being quiet and opening the door, you know, that took me to where I needed to be. And so, you know, even though others are only smiling, I know that I've planted that idea, and hopefully they will find that love of their higher power as I have. So with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Marie M. from Texas. Okay. And before we take another list of names, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience. So if you've shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back. And who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Ross M.
Ross M.
Melissa C.
Melissa
Demi
C. B. Who was that, Pedro?
Elizabeth W.
Elizabeth.
Sim. B.
Who B? I'm sorry?
Sim with an S. Sim.
Oh, Sim. Okay, I gotcha. Thanks, Sim. Okay, and then I got Elizabeth. Who else? I have Russ M, Melissa C, Sim B, and Elizabeth. Take a couple more. Okay, well, let's go with that, and then we'll have time for some more. Russ M., please share with us.
Good morning, Tina. Thanks for your service. Appreciate it. Good morning, everyone. It's Russ M. recovered compulsive overeater from Norristown, PA. And I jumped on late, and I just heard where we're at in the reading, and that thing about, you know, it was God. And what crossed my mind is not the whole story of me destroying myself, the loser, and, you know, just making a mess of my life. That I just can't emphasize it enough that I'm doing nothing right now without the grace of God through these 12 steps in this program. And everything is a gift. Everything is a gift. I definitely do not deserve it. And, you know, I'm hearing you shares. And, you know, every day when I come to this meeting, I think, like, I was destined to die really unhealthy, die young, unhealthy, and just untapped potential life. And I'd just be nowhere without God. I can't emphasize that enough. Anything, any little trinket, morsel, crumb, sunshine, anything that has come my way has come from God. And, you know, I'm living a life that I can't even believe. I can't even believe. Even with his hardships and struggles, and just through the grace of God and these steps, I'm being redundant here. It's just I can't get it across enough. And just, you know, if you can believe it, I'm speechless, right? I hear these shares. I hear these miracles that have happened. And yes, as my good friend says, you got to surrender. And it's in every situation in life. And I've learned that it's not just about being an addict. It's not just about, you know, getting out of the food or destroying your life. It's about maybe how about reaching your potential on this earth and giving something to someone else and helping somebody and being what God made you to be. And even at, I'm going to be 54, that, you know, that desire still, that's a gift from God, that I want to change. I want to be great, and not by the world standards, just by, like, being a, you know, live a life of service and helping someone else. And I'm sorry if I hope I made sense. If I didn't, I'll make sure I don't share. I'll put myself on probation, but I can't emphasize enough how much what God has done in my life through this program, being a junkie, having to be crushed to have this beautiful life, because I thought it was curtains for me about 10 years ago. So I love you guys, and I'm always around if you need me. I pass.
Thanks so much, Russ M. from Pennsylvania, and yes, you made sense. Appreciate it. Okay, next we have Melissa C., followed by Sim B. Please share, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Tina. Thanks so much for your service. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in New York. And, you know, it's interesting. I've been away. I was visiting friends, and, like, friends that have known me for forever. And so they've seen me, you know, through the years. And so I, one of my friends that's there, you know, she's got this problem. You know, she has our problem. She's an addict. And, you know, and so most of the time, I know they've witnessed my spiritual liberation. They've seen me through all of life's, you know, difficulties. And I think, what does it mean to rise above my problems? It doesn't mean that I don't have problems. It means that, like, we're given this gift in recovery that we kind of live in this new and wonderful world. We're told this, regardless what our circumstances are. And that's, you know, I think what happened the other night when I was there was my friend got me alone, and she actually opened up and said she can't stop. And actually she said she can't stop drinking. And, you know, and I had this unique opportunity to sort of, you know, she focuses and she sees just like my food plan. She sees, but she knows that I have this quiet time in the morning. Even though I'm staying there, I go outside and I go do my prayer and meditation. And she sees me, you know, on the phone a little bit and doing some certain things. And, you know, and I had to tell her that God, God made this possible. You know, because she asked me the truth, and the truth is that all those nuts and bolts of my recovery that other people might witness, the weight loss, my ability to smile in rough circumstances, you know, the things I do, the way I eat food, the way I have to disappear and go pray and meditate, the things I say when some of the negative gossip or things come out, they see that. And that's a demonstration of what God made possible. And so I did tell her, you know, that this is the work of God. And I saw she's not there. You know, she kind of only smiled. And then I suggested, you know, there's meetings. You know, I suggested the book. And found out she did have the book. And she's not quite there yet. You know, and so I remember myself being at that spot, seeing other people's spiritual release and thinking, that's not true. There's something else here. But I'll tell you what convinced me was the pain of my disease. And my prayer this morning is that I hope her pain is coming to an end. Thanks. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Melissa C. from New York. Next, we have Cindy, followed by Elizabeth. Please share, Sim.
Hey, good morning. This is Sim B. in Michigan, recovering, great flute, with all of you. My inspirations, Rising Sun, you all really helped me feel like the possibility is here for recovery right now. And so just breathing it in one moment at a time, I sense that I don't need to do it myself. And as I look into the big book and let go of the need to reason out my life and lean into faith, there is a lifeboat experience where I'm like, oh, maybe I don't need to force or push or prove or discipline or, you know, drag myself or anyone else around today. And maybe if I just let go right now with all of you into the possibility that if I just step onto the boat, that I will be carried ashore to, you know, where I've wanted to go, a promised land. And I sense that potential right now, an opportunity to be of service ultimately is how I paddle. I think that's it. Like, oh, pick up the paddle, start paddling, and trust that God loves me and wants the best for me and my family and my friends and my neighbors and my community and ultimately for human beings and animals and for life to thrive. And I sense that by setting the food down and allowing a full plate of spiritual nutrition and the love to come through, and that's what I'm sensing is possible. And I'm extremely grateful for the recovery I'm receiving, and that I'm seeing is showing up in my life in the little miracles of pausing and sensing how blessed I am and what a blessing it is to be a human, even in the discomforts of having young children and their upsets and being married and, you know, resentments that go both ways and all the self-seeking and overlooking the garbage that needs to be picked up. All those things, just giving it back to God and recognizing that I don't have to do this alone. And in fact, that's not the design of the human being, rather to be in community and to intertwine into our strength rather than the need to prove a power, but actually be in the power of God. So I'll end there, in the power of God. Thank you. Bless you all.
Thanks so much, Simbi from Michigan. And next we have Elizabeth. Elizabeth, please give us the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from.
Good morning, y'all. This is Elizabeth W. from North Carolina, and I am a compulsive overeater and bulimic. I didn't want to share this morning. I'm relatively new in program, although not new to 12 step. And I had almost made it 30 days of abstinence. And then I am having some health issues. And my older daughter is also that are scary and require tests and things like that. And I got really overwhelmed and exhausted and turned to food. And I just felt such terrible shame. And I felt like, you know, how could I do this? Like, I was almost to 30 days and I was working my steps and working with a sponsor and doing all the things. And, but I'm not fully protected yet. I haven't worked all the steps yet. I'm only on step 3 and I don't have the full protection of the 12. And my sponsor reminded me of that when I told her what had happened. And I realized that even though I broke my abstinence, I did something different this time, which is that even though I ate off of my food plan, it didn't turn into a binge. It didn't turn into a purge. I just ate off my food plan a little bit, and then I stopped. And I went to bed. I literally went to bed at 7 p.m. so that I would not eat anymore. I made that choice, and God was there in that choice. And God was there the next morning early when I started calling felons and telling them what had happened, and when I texted my sponsor to tell her. God was there, and God was helping me rise above my problems and what I had done and my fears about my health and my daughter's health. I didn't have to stay in the food. I could just get back onto the horse and eat my abstinent breakfast and make my calls and say my prayers and beg for God's help, because I can't do this without him. And I wouldn't have been able to do that without the little bit that I've been in this program and on these calls. I feel like I have experienced at least a little bit of spiritual liberation, because in the past, when I experienced relapse in a different food recovery program, I would just quit. I would just leave and chuck it in the fuck it bucket and say, that's it. You know, I just can't do this. And I didn't do that this time. And so I just feel like whatever flaws I have and whatever weaknesses I have, God is still making it possible for me to change and grow and make different choices. And I'm just so grateful for that. And I just want to thank everybody here for all your wonderful shares and for your service and for all the people who have taken my calls in the last couple of days. I appreciate you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Elizabeth W. from North Carolina. We have time for about 3 or 4 more shares.
Helene L.
Mary K.
Betty Jean in Connecticut.
Betty Jean?
Yep.
Okay. All right, let's go with that, and then we'll see what we have left, time we have left. Okay, Helene L., please share with us. Tell us where you're calling from.
Thank you. I'm Helene L. from New York City, and I'm committed to my abstinence and recovery. I'm 52 years abstinent, a day at a time. What I learned, I went to all the diet clubs before. I was 65 pounds overweight. I almost jumped out of a window when I was 24 years old because I just didn't see any hope, and that week I found program. What I learned that I didn't learn in the diet clubs is that this is a disease. So it's emotional, physical, and spiritual. So I have to take care of all those parts of me. Also, my sponsor was very gracious. If I had made a wrong decision, then I looked at what I could have done differently that I didn't do. Many times I could have called someone before I made a choice that wasn't right. And then let it go, move on in my life. Food is a killer. Yes, I've grown amazingly. I was a selfish, self-centered young woman when I came into the program, and now I'm a wise woman who does 10, 11, and 12 steps all the time and checks myself out. But it's really flipped me inside out. And yes, the steps and the big book, very, very important. But I have to keep my food straight. All of us have stressors, me included. I have a son who's disabled. Going through the challenges of life, the good and the bad, I mean, accepting awards was difficult for me as well. So going through the challenges, what allows me to be of service is not going into the food for one day, for 1 hour, for 1 minute. And what I learned in this program, which I didn't do before, was that I could reach out for help. I didn't have to do it alone. That's it.
Thanks so much, Helene L. from New York. And next we have Larry K., followed by Betty Jean. Please share, Larry.
Hey, Tina. Good morning. Larry K., recovered. Had to get in on this. I'm very passionate about this, and thanks for all the shares. You know, it was a long, long time in OA that I didn't hear people talking about the obsession being driven out, the obsession being eradicated, gone, as the result of them working the steps. I didn't hear that. And eventually, though, I did. And I don't know that that was people's experience, at least the meetings I was going to for a long time in OA. That's the spiritual liberation for me today. I can tell you unequivocally that the problem, as it was said, it's a singular problem, is the obsession being driven out. I'm not saying other good things don't happen. Of course they do, in the midst of calamity and challenge and being human and all that. But the obsession is driven out. And the allergy hasn't been driven out. But the liberation, where I've been unshackled from the tether, you know, untethered, released from the prison, is that in the midst of everything in my humanness, that obsession has been driven out. I don't want the food. So the mere fact that I have an allergy doesn't matter. It's not great, but it doesn't matter because the obsession is gone as the result of the implementation of these steps and the continuation, right? We can't rest on our laurels, right? We have to continue to do it imperfectly. No saints in this room, maybe one or two, but you know who you are. But I mean, the rest of us are not. We're not going to be that way. And so, but hey, man, the pizza gets passed. It will. It's my mom's birthday. The pizza will get passed. Donuts will be dancing. You know, they're there. But I don't want them. And I'm not kidding. When you have food in front of you right now, you ate last night, likely going to eat today. I'm telling you that for many people on this line, the obsession's been driven out. In their life, obviously, we're not exhausted by the daily fight. The fight is gone. That's the promise. That's the spiritual liberation for me. That's what God did for me. Thanks, Tina. I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Larry K. from Chicago. Okay, next we have Betty Jean. Can you give us the initial of your last name and where you're calling from? I know you said
sure.
Good.
Sure. This is Betty Jean M, as in mother, and I am recovering in Connecticut. Glad to be here with you all today. I came into this program for a dress size. I came into this program to lose weight, and that is all. At the first meeting, a woman walked up to me and said, "It's not about the food." And I just smiled, but I wanted to say, "Maybe not for you, honey, but that's why I'm here." And I thought she was nuts, and I thought this was a diet club. And today, I can tell you that the most basic task in my life today and the most urgent need in my life today is to be connected to my higher power every single minute of the day, to know my higher power and to know his will for me and to accept that. And, you know, I knew I couldn't do this by myself because I certainly have tried, as you have all tried. I tried everything, and every single morning I would wake up saying, "I'm not going to do that again. Today's going to be different." And every single day, it's a new recipe for success of what I was going to eat that day. Every single day I failed. For years, I was in that failure and that suffering and that misery and really thought I had tried everything. Well, I didn't know how to really connect with my higher power, and that this problem, as well as every other detail in my life, had to be handed over to God, that I couldn't do anything, that all I could do was clean up my side of the street, and that God would tell me what the next right thing was. I wasn't going to figure it out myself. I never, ever had been able to do that and had years of proof that I couldn't do it myself, and I had tried. And so the most important thing now, I recently have been experienced a health problem that was a small thing that became much bigger. And all my character defects got louder, and the disease tried hard to come back, and I experienced a relapse. And what stopped that is turning everything over to higher power and staying in this program, staying in the center of this herd, making outreach calls. The disease is screaming at me. The thing that quiets the disease are all your voices, listening to your success, listening to your struggles, listening to how it worked for you, because the disease will make me doubt my own recovery, my own success. And I just have to stay close to higher power every single day, every single minute, hand over everything, every detail of my life, because God wants to be in every single aspect, every detail of our lives every day. Just hand it all over. I know it's hard, but it's the only thing that works. It's a lot easier than living in the food. So thank you all for being here and helping me today, and I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Betty Jean M. from Connecticut. We have time for one more share. Who would like that? Anybody? Three minutes. Okay, I guess if nobody wants to share.
Colleen M.
Go ahead, Colleen.
Hey, thank you. Thanks, everyone. Colleen M. from Maryland, grateful compulsive, recovered compulsive eater. The shares have been powerful today. I didn't really think I had much to say about this paragraph other than the liberation, the spiritual liberation. That is what I have found by coming here and putting the food down and working these steps. And, you know, agree that life is not perfect. It won't be. I so want to arrive. I so want to be, you know, without issues, without problems, to be that perfect human being. And it's just not going to happen. I have to continually remind myself of that. I'm going to have struggles. I'm going to have issues with relationships. And there will be days where things won't go my way, many days, but also I know I can get through anything with the help of my higher power. And today, gotten through in the last 9 years, deaths and difficulties, and I haven't had to hurt myself with food. And I agree, you know, I don't want the food. Even if I have a thought of, oh, you know, I'm hungry or I want to eat, you know, the second thought is that is an insane thought. You know, pick up the phone and call somebody. But today I am not haunted by the food, which is an absolute miracle. You know, this program works. I don't know. I don't understand how it works. I just know that when I'm not eating my alcoholic foods and when I'm working the steps and I'm committed to growing the relationship with my higher power on a daily basis, then I have a daily reprieve. And it is contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. And sometimes God feels real far away and other times, you know, close. But I know it's not about a feeling. It is about a decision. God is either everything or he is nothing. And today I choose to believe that he is everything. And it is not me doing this. You know, this is a divine work that that I think most of us that have gotten recovered know and feel. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Colleen M. Okay. Well, thank you to everyone who shared. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing and the share ID for today, which is Thursday, July the 30th, 2026, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,679. That's 23679. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, where will Judith S. Judith S.P. please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. Judith? Judith, star one. Are you on there, Judith? So, Ian, you have a vision for you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Thank you.
Let's see. Yeah. All right. Just bear with me one second.
Sure. Page 64.
164. Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless.
Zoe, you got cut off. Did you mute yourself?